On today's show, we take a look at what type of housing programs are available in Hamilton. For an overview of the situation, we met with Keith Extens from the Housing Department.
Freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
It's time to hear the other side of the news.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up. Every station is a gentrification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. ABC, Disney, NBC, GE, Murdoch is Foxy, and with a hint, he owns a pen, the camera, the sword, by a Coke, by a Ford, getting broke, getting bored.
The other side of the news.
What we want, what we need, what we want, what we need. But do we even know who plans to see? You think the media works for you, but it's a job for them. They're just selling proof. Flim flam diagram, data jam, handicap, cut it. Yo, you bought it. A mind is a profitable thing to waste. You want another taste, baby? Till freedom is a rumor.
My name is Keith Extens. I'm the coordinator of plans and programs with the City of Hamilton. I'm going to begin by talking about where we were in terms of the city, Canada, and the province of Ontario in the early 1990s. At that time, there was a very active social housing program in place by the federal government, and also there were provincial initiatives as well, which provided much-needed social housing. Beginning in 1993, the federal government basically got out of the social housing business and devolved all responsibility to the provincial government. They deferred all costs and everything down to the provincial governments. In 1995, immediately after the election of the Progressive Conservative government, that government then canceled all nonprofit and cooperative housing social housing programs.
Mr. Extens' explanation confirms what Mr. Michael Shapcott of the TDRC in Toronto has been telling us for years, that the private sector will never build housing that could be affordable for those that are on social services.
We are in a very difficult situation here in the city of Hamilton. We have a waiting list for social housing or rent geared to income units of over 4,000. Although we have an increasing rental apartment vacancy rate, we are finding that the vacant units are in fact higher priced and at the higher end of the market as opposed to being at the affordable end.
And that would be because some of the policies of the vacancy decontrol laws?
Since 1995, there have been no social housing programs available in Canada. The situation is difficult. What we are seeing, I don't think it's a coincidence that the rise in homelessness, what we have seen over the past 5, 6, 7 years, is a direct result of our senior levels of government getting out of the social housing business.
Mm-hmm. And private developers have no incentive to build low-cost or socialized funded housing. If it's not going to be funded from some other source like the government, it's not going to be built by developers.
That's correct. Private sector, the private business, they are in the business of making money. But fortunately, profit cannot be made by constructing rental housing. The reason for that is very quite simple. The economic costs of constructing rental housing, particularly in Hamilton, cannot be equal to the actual market costs of what it would take to rent. For example, if you were to construct a modest-sized rental unit in downtown Hamilton, the economic cost or the break-even cost would be approximately $1,100 per month. The market for tenants who would have the income available to afford that is very, very limited, and that's the prime reason why the private sector is not building rental housing. It is not economic for them. Really, we as the City of Hamilton want to see the private sector back in the business of building rental housing. Unfortunately, the reality is that it just cannot be done on a sound economic basis. Because of that, what we have seen is a recognition by the provincial government, and particularly the federal government, that there needs to be some means of assisting the private sector of getting back in the business of building rental housing. That has led to the introduction of the Affordable Housing Program, mm-hmm. and one component of the Affordable Housing Program is the Community Rental Housing Program. The Community Rental Housing Program is a cost-shared program between the federal and provincial governments, and is delivered by the City of Hamilton.
Are there restrictions that come with it?
There are a number of criteria or restrictions by which take-up of the Community Rental Housing Program can be undertaken in Hamilton. One of the criteria is that the rents cannot be higher than the average market level rent in the city of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And the units are to be affordable, quote unquote, as defined by the feds and the province, for only a period of 15 years. There's a range of details in terms of unit sizes. The units are to be fairly modest. Builder developers are not allowed to construct luxury units. Swimming pools, saunas are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
The city recognizes that affordable housing, particularly affordable rental housing, is a big issue in our community. With that as background, City Council adopted HAPI, the Hamilton Affordable Housing Partnership Initiative, back in April of 2002. City Council allocated $1.5 million to the HAPI Housing Partnership Fund. And the HAPI Housing Partnership Fund is similar to a number of other municipal actions that have been undertaken in the City of Toronto and the region of Waterloo. And basically, this fund allows private sector and not-for-profit housing providers to receive financial assistance from the city to enable them to build affordable rental housing.
Is this building or renovating?
It can be both. We're interested in any types of rental housing. It could be through new construction. It could be through conversion of second or third floors above street front commercial. It could be an old industrial building that's being converted to residential. In terms of renovation, no, money is not available through the HAPI Housing Partnership Fund for renovation, because those units are already existing. Renovation programs include the Residential Rehabilitation Assistance Program, which we as the City of Hamilton deliver as well.
RAP program.
The RAP, correct.
That's to make sure that your roof doesn't fall in on you if you can't afford to pay for it.
That's correct. RAP offers a number of particular elements, one of which is known as RAP rental, where forgivable loans are provided to landlords who have affordable rental housing and they need monies to fix up that housing. RAP most commonly is used by lower income homeowners. In June of 2002, the city released a request for proposals for funding under the Community Rental Housing Program pilot component and the HAPI Housing Partnership Fund. This is the first initiative that the city has released where we are actively getting out into the community and promoting the construction of new affordable rental housing. I'm pleased to say that City Council recommended the approval of one project of St. Elizabeth's Homes, comprising, I believe it's 26 units, where they will be constructing affordable rental housing, which will be the first new significant rental housing development in Hamilton in close to 8-9 years.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, considering there's 4,000 to 5,000 people on waiting lists. So where does this leave us? Are we getting any closer to getting housing?
I think it's important to recognize is that we are moving forward. It's never at the pace that should happen, and certainly we as staff recognize that we have to move as quickly as possible. However, there has been, as you know, a recent provincial election where the previous government was retired and we have a new government in place. And the words coming from the new government in terms of housing are very, very comforting. One of the major concerns that the City of Hamilton had in regard to the Community Rental Housing Program was that the previous provincial government was not willing to contribute any money towards the construction of the units. The federal government contributed $25,000 cash per unit.
And the province had to match it, right?
The province had to match it. However, they didn't choose to match it with actual cash. They chose to match it through other elements, which unfortunately restricted the take-up of any new units. I'm pleased to say that the word from the various ministers and the new provincial government is that they are committed to, in fact, matching the $25,000 the federal government is putting up with $25,000 from the provincial government. This will make a significant difference in terms of promoting the construction of new affordable housing.
So now we can just start to look at that 700 unit target that they were trying to meet. When was that, 2002?
That's correct.
We're already 2 years behind and we haven't started, really.
Basically, we as a city recognize that not only do we need rental housing, we need a lot of it. We have done various household and housing demand projections, and on an average annual basis, the City of Hamilton requires approximately 770 to 780 new rental housing units per year just to meet demographic changes.
How much of that is bleed over from Toronto?
That's just strictly demographic changes within our own community. You could almost construe that as being a minimum, as sort of a conservative estimate, and in fact may be much higher as it depends on migration levels from not only other areas of the province, but internationally as well.
Mm-hmm.
With 770 that we need a year, the new community rental housing program has indicated that 700 units will be allocated to the city of Hamilton over a four-year period.
I'm curious about the one program. Well, it's for property owners, but it's to encourage them to either renew or build or add on to their units.
There is the Downtown Residential Loan Program. Basically, the purpose of the Downtown Residential Loan Program is where the city provides guaranteed loan funding to building owners who have commercial space and they want to convert to residential. We will soon be rolling out a program called the Main Streets Housing Program. Basically, that is where a grant will be provided to building owners who have vacant second and third floor commercial space to convert that space into residential.
And what about people that can't, the disabled that can't take advantage of those walk-ups?
There's nothing stopping a developer from constructing modified units, and in fact, that's something that we want to encourage. However, we can't compel somebody to construct a modified unit if they do not want to.
Mm. Okay. There's those huge condos on James Street, at 135 James Street.
Mm-hmm.
Are they part of one of those loan programs where they get $44,000 interest-free loan per unit?
The units you're referring to were funded through assistance under the Downtown Residential Loan Program. It's my understanding there's approximately 191 condominium units that are for sale. It's a very exciting development for downtown Hamilton, where we will be increasing the residential housing stock and getting more people on the streets.
One of the concerns I had about it is seeing the price tag, though, is $400,000 per unit. So it's only aiming to a very elitist market.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree that they're all $400,000. I've seen price lines where they're in the $100,000, $110,000. Perhaps some of the penthouse units may be priced at that level. I don't know. I'm not involved in the individual marketing of it.
Okay, so it'll attract more residents downtown of a higher caliber, but it's still not going to really do anything about the homeless situation and the majority of the people that are working and trying to struggle less than $30,000 a year.
What's important to recognize is that the city has a range of programs and a range of options to encourage residential development. You may be aware of SCPI, the Supportive Community Partnership Initiative, where the federal government, we anticipate very shortly, will be announcing that approximately $13 million will be set aside for the City of Hamilton for use in developing homelessness initiatives and options to prevent homelessness. And the city also, as well, is engaging in a number of partnerships to facilitate new affordable rental housing. The city is partnering with the Hamilton Real Estate Board, the Home Builders Association, and the Threshold School of Building, where tenants from existing social housing projects who have the economic means are moving into home ownership.
What level of yearly income would you peg that at, economic means?
Well, it depends on the price of the house, but the households that are looking at this are in the $30,000 a year range.
Making $35,000 a year. So there still isn't enough for those that are making $10,000 or less on social assistance yet.
Really, the only housing solution for people with that level of income will be social housing, and it will be rent-geared-to-income housing. That can be achieved through the use of the rent supplement program. And one of the ambitions of the city is that for any new units constructed through the community rental housing program, a portion of those new units will be set aside for rent supplement. That way we will begin to take people off of the waiting list.
You don't know the percentage of the units that will be rent geared to income. It's the landlord and the building that's being supplemented, correct?
That's correct. What we are hoping for in the development of new buildings under the community rental housing program is that the city has been flexible. We haven't dictated that X percent shall be rent supplement. What we would like to see ideally is around 10% of the units to be available on a rent supplement. The city is also actively working with a number of existing landlords who have vacant units to make available those vacant units for people on a rent geared to income basis.
And how do you entice them?
basically we go through and we talk to them and we say, we understand you have vacant units. We have tenants who are willing to rent these units, and at a certain market rent, we'd be more than willing to enter into an agreement where you're going to have a guaranteed tenant for a number of years and therefore a guaranteed rent.
So the city is basically guaranteeing for the recipient of social services.
Yep.
There's been some discussion, FERPO is one of the groups and organizations I was thinking about, it's a landlord-tenant agency,
yep.
And they were talking about the government should be interested or thinking more about funding the individual rather than the unit. They seem to think that was a much better idea.
It's certainly a positive idea, but what's important to recognize is that in dealing with a housing situation, there is no one magic silver bullet. There has to be a range of options. One of the concerns with a shelter allowance component as being the only way of responding to affordable housing is that it wouldn't necessarily work in the province of Ontario. And I say that by referring to how it works in the United States. In the United States, they have what are known as Section 8 housing vouchers, and a household is given a housing voucher, and they are then entitled to go to any approved, and I underscore the word approved, landlord where they can use that housing voucher. Unfortunately, what has been suggested here is that wouldn't necessarily be the same system, and we do not want people living in basement apartments, substandard apartments, where they are receiving any type of housing assistance. In theory, the shelter allowance component works well. However, it's based on the assumption that you have a very active and functioning rental marketplace, and which unfortunately we do not have right now in the province of Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Our vacancy rate is less than 2% or something?
Approximately 2%, yeah.
2%.
One of the things that the city is looking at is that we are embarking on a major housing policy and program study called Keys to the Home. And Keys to the Home is where we are looking at where we want to be in the future in terms of providing housing. And this isn't just necessarily all housing for lower income households, this is housing for everything. One of the areas which we think is appropriate and we will be addressing in Keys to the Home is the whole issue of accessory apartments or second suites, also known as basement apartments, things like that. Certainly that is one of the prime ways of getting new affordable rental housing available in our community. The concern always is ensuring that these units are in fact of a decent standard and that the neighborhoods are not adversely affected by parking and things like that.
Would this give some strength to the request that the developers had when they went to the Tory government in June of 95 and asked for a list? As Michael Shapcott says, they went in with a list of things that they wanted the provincial government to do. Vacancy decontrol was one of them, turning apartment buildings into condos, those kinds of requests, because they couldn't afford to build the housing that sort of the low-income market needed.
The issue of condominium conversions has been actually very, very active in the city of Hamilton since the early 1990s. Condominium conversions, as most of your audience will know, is where rental housing units are converted into a condominium form of tenure. Now, this has both costs and benefits to a municipality, and the city looks at this very, very carefully, and guidance by which the city evaluates condominium conversions is noted in the city's official plan. On the positive side, condominium conversions do result in units being improved, renovations are undertaken, and generally the cost of these units that is converted to ownership are very much at the affordable level. I've dealt with applications where the units converted are in the $35,000, $40,000 a year range, which I think by all accounts is regarded as affordable home ownership. One of the negative aspects is that rental housing is being removed from the stock, and that is rental housing, which in all likelihood will never be replaced. So what we have to do at the city is we have to balance both the pros and the cons, and we have to ensure that any conversions that do occur will not adversely affect the City of Hamilton rental housing marketplace. On that basis, the City's official plan contains specific criteria which states that no conversions will occur if the vacancy rate in the city or the particular geographic zone can occur if the vacancy rate is below 2%. So as long as the vacancy rate is at or above 2% across the city and the particular geographic zone, conversions are generally permitted. One of the big areas that the city is embarking on, and it's recognition that municipalities are now the lead players in responding to affordable housing, is the whole notion of partnerships. We are establishing a partnership with Habitat for Humanity for a parcel of land on the Stony Creek Mountain known as Bridgewater Court, where we as the city, in partnership with Habitat, will be constructing approximately 60 affordable townhouse units. These will be for affordable home ownership, they will be for market rental, and they will also be for rent geared to income rental as well. Basically, governments, the city, federal and provincial levels, money is tight, money is scarce. We have to do the best that we can with our limited financial resources and work with other partners or community groups in order to respond to affordable housing needs. There is a subcommittee of FCM known as the National Housing Policy Options Team, NHPOT. That group was instrumental, in fact, of lobbying the federal government for a number of years, which again resulted in the establishment of the Affordable Housing Program, which led to the Community Rental Housing Program. Mm. So lobbying works. Persistent professional lobbying will work wonders.
How is the relationship now with municipalities and the provincial government?
Certainly, it's very, very conducive. A lot of what has been coming from Queen's Park in terms of messages and directions on how the new provincial government will not only deal with municipalities on housing but other broader urban issues has been very, very encouraging. My sense is that there's a great deal of recognition. There's a sense of understanding that what is happening at the municipal level is also a shared provincial concern as well, which wasn't necessarily the case under the previous government.
Are they going to consider taking back some of the financial responsibilities that the Tory government dumped on the municipalities and therefore left cities cash-strapped?
Certainly we, as municipalities, we recognize, and this is a consistent not only in Hamilton but all municipalities, is that we need assistance in terms of delivering the services that the previous government downloaded to us. Certainly we can do it. We have the staffing resources. We are at the front line to do it. The difficulty is just it costs a great deal of money. And we have municipalities, and the city of Hamilton in particular, have been the net losers in terms of downloading of these responsibilities to our level.
The location of the city hasn't been very favorable as far as having numbers that can lobby. The greater GTA area of Toronto has got such a bigger bargaining position just by its mere size. I've heard other people discussing, do we line up with Burlington? Do we line up with Niagara Falls area? We need more numbers grouped together.
Certainly the city is an active participant with AMO, which is the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. A lot of lobbying goes under and through the auspices of AMO, which concerns itself with not only just Toronto, but with all municipalities across Ontario. And I think, in fairness, the provincial government recognizes the concerns by all municipalities and not necessarily just the Toronto ones as well. They understand what the situation we're going through, not only here in Hamilton, but in Windsor and Niagara Falls and Thunder Bay. This isn't just unique to Hamilton, this is unique to all municipalities in Ontario.
They go hand in hand with the social cuts and the cuts to housing. They're hand in hand, and everywhere I've traveled talking to social activists and people working in the field and people working with homelessness, the answer is always the same. If they would upload back to the province more funding for social assistance, if people had more income in their pocket, they could actually afford to rent a place to live. And they've been on frozen incomes for some 10, 12 years, some of them. You just can't have that. So I would think it'd be part and partial when you're lobbying the provincial government to make them aware that you can't ignore one without the other. They're feeding each other. This homeless problem is being fed by lack of income.
That's certainly one key reason. It's the lack of income. As you pointed out, social assistance rates haven't changed. The shelter component for ODSP, my understanding, has stayed at 325 for the past 6, 7, 8 years. Combined with that, the absence of any new rent-geared income housing, and that's why we have the situation of homeless on the streets.
So would the city, this may be a little out of your area, but would members of the city and the city staff consider working together with that point of view in mind?
We have recognized that, and I know my colleagues in the Public Health and Community Services Division have recognized that as well, that the shelter component of ODSP unfortunately does not reflect the reality of housing costs as they are now in the city of Hamilton and as they have increased over the past number of years. And that's something we have to take forward to the province to make them fully aware of how difficult it has been on the people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes down to partnership. It comes down to partnerships between the city and community sector organizations, between the city and the private sector, and the city and our other levels of government. The city will talk to anybody. The city likes to hear the concerns of not only the private sector, but our community organizations, our not-for-profit organizations. We're willing to listen and address any concerns that any organization may have. There are a number of builders and developers in Hamilton who have been in contact with city officials about how the program works, how it could work for them. So what we are seeing, and this is very, very positive, is that there is some genuine interest on behalf of the private sector to construct rental housing again. One of the things that we look for as part of the evaluation of the community rental housing program proposals is that has a number of units been set aside for modified.
Okay, thanks very much for your time.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks.
We'd like to thank Mr. Extance for his time, but I'd like to talk over a couple of points that he was mentioning. I'm not sure how many times he used the word affordable in his conversation, but at no point did his term of affordable mean affordable for those people on social assistance or fixed incomes, or those that are actually working, but for minimum wage. He himself pointed out it takes a good deal of money to lobby governments, and the only hope of success in getting the government's ear is steady and strong lobbying. I wanted to go back to a couple of points that he mentioned. When he was talking about the condo conversion under the Downtown Renewable Loan Program at 135-155 James Street, those condos start at $299,000 and they go up to $699,000. They were used with loan money from a program under the Downtown Residential Loan Program, which in the city's own website says it's a financial incentive for developers to assist them with the cost of converting commercial space to apartments or renovations and to bring existing apartments into compliance with the property standards bylaw and fire code. That's not what I would term as an affordable housing program. The amount of money that the city gave out for this program is in the excess of $325,000. I quote to you from the 2002 City of Hamilton Tax Budget Report on page 3. The downtown residential loan is an affordable item. It's used to expand the existing downtown residential loan program. They wanted to expand it then by $325,000, which will support the $5 million in new loans and lever the $22 million in private investment for building housing in the core. The city also says that it's been a very successful program, that they have over 500 residential units that have applied. And apparently, it's an interest-free loan for a maximum of 5 years. The principal is repayable in the amounts of 10% and 12 equal monthly payments. And the city has been so pleased with this program, they've actually allotted another $10 million in credit for it. The only good news that I heard out of this interview was when he was referring to another company called Threshold School of Building and is to help people on low incomes help build their own houses. It's very much like Habitat for Humanity. It's also a very good program for learning. And the contact for them is called the Threshold School of Building. It's supported by Terkstra Lumber as well. They're located at 181 James Street North in Hamilton, L8R2K9. Their phone number is 522-8686. And their webpage can be found at www.thresholdschool.ca. Any news and information that you want to hear on this program, please remember to contact the email for the show is sos@mountaincable.net. I would be pleased to hear from you if I've missed some information you want me to find out about, or if there's a story you'd like to hear covered. Please send me an email, and I'd be more than happy to reply. That's it for this week.
And that's Special Report for this time. News, fair, balanced, and unafraid.
On the one hand, there's the public's right to know. On the other hand,